Okay, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, it is a good morning. We are still in the book of Colossians, and we are still taking it slow by slow, piece by piece. Why? Because I know they say there's no hurry in Africa, but also when it comes to study, it's good to take time to reflect, to meditate, and even as you read, you know, as you go back into it, other things come and God opens your understanding to more and more. So there is no pain or there's no struggle in reading and rereading. Why? Because there's so much truth that God always wants us to hear from His word. So in Colossians chapter 1, and today we want to look at this aspect of redemption. I know there's a previous aspect of inheritance, but that we can cover on another day. If you look at verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might. And this is a prayer that Paul is making for the Colossian church. Remember, this is a church he did not found. This is a church that he was planted by Epaphras. And so he says, verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience with long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So there is a big inheritance there that God has made us. And this, when it says we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, that means that the saints of God have an inheritance that they are going to partake of in the light. Remember, God is light, and in whom there is no darkness. And He shall make all of us to be lights. Those that win souls, those that win many for righteousness, win souls and bring them to righteousness, they shall shine so bright like the stars in the firmament. So each of us will shine according to how much we have labored for the kingdom of God in terms of, you know, the souls that will bring many to righteousness, we shall shine. So there's an inheritance in the light. And the greatest inheritance is not just those crowns, but the greatest inheritance is God Himself. And that is why the Bible tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. That means as sons, we are going to receive God. We are going to be heirs of God. And there's an inheritance, be it in the city of Zion, be it in our lives, be it even a future reality, but also a present reality. There is an inheritance that is available. And the greatest inheritance are not things, are not crowns, but God Himself. I think when it says you're an heir of God, that means you are going to be a partaker of God. You know, God wants a union of man and Him. And this is not only just the union that will happen now that we have this koinonia within our spirits, where God's spirit is in us and our spirits are in Him, and he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. It's not just that union of one spirit, but also in the fulfillment of time, you can go and see that there will be a unity of things in heaven and things on the earth, where there will be a union of God in and of man in God, and man included in God, where men will be included in Christ, and Christ is in God. And that new Jerusalem becomes that complex of we being included in Christ and being included in God. Remember, God wanted us to reign with Him, and we shall reign with Him for forever and ever. So after that, we don't know what work God will begin, but we know that in that point we shall be in Him, and there shall be a union of man into God, and that will be the unity of all things, things in heaven and things on the earth. In the fullness of time, God has already said that is what is going to happen. It will be rolled like a garment, and we shall be joined up in Him. So there's an inheritance of the saints in the light. So remember, the church are the saints. If this is not Saint Peter or Saint who, every believer is a saint. This book, when it starts, it says, to the saints in Colossae, you know, to the Christians, to the saints. So believers are saints. Why? Because saints are those who are washed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Then, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, very important, it says us, we are delivered. Remember when we speak about the battle of the kingdoms, there's a teaching on that, the battles of the kingdom. We go through how those war in heaven. Satan is cast down and heaven says war to the inhabitants of the earth because the devil has come to you and is full of fury because his time is short. And from there, the devil starts to wage war against man. He wages war against the first Adam. And he defeats him and takes over the kingdom. But then Christ comes as the second Adam and the last Adam to redeem back that kingdom. So there is a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Remember, and it's a kingdom of the Son of his love. That means that when we are coming to the kingdom of Christ, we are coming to God's beloved Son. When he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that battle that is won by Christ does the aspect of delivering us. Remember, when you're delivered, you are a slave under the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says everyone that is of the world has been blinded by the prince of this air, and they're held captive to do the will and purposes of the devil. But you see, when you come to Christ, you receive the forgiveness, you receive the redemption. And the Bible says, verse 14, in whom, who is it? In Christ. Remember, we are referring to the Christ. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So now the question is, what is redemption? Redemption, the Bible is saying, is through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, when you have to ask yourself, what is redemption? It is actually a word that means to buy back. When, let's say, for example, and this is illustrated in the Old Testament, what would happen is that, assuming, let's say, your relative became poor, and then because your relative became poor, he went and offered either their property or themselves for someone to give them money. And they go and give away that land, which is supposed to stay in your family line, gives it away, goes and offers himself to be a slave. And this person is in trouble, is in debt. This person is unable to rescue themselves from that situation. Now, the law put it that this person who has sold himself or who is about to lose his property can have a fellow kinsman who is someone who is close to him in line, and there is an order to which that closeness comes. And this person can come and buy back that land or that man from the person who, the debtor, and by that aspect, he sets his own brother free. And he is able to be restored back every lost property that he had. The perfect example is in the book of Ruth. You know, when what happens when Naomi goes with her husband Elimelech, they go to the land of Moab and they have two sons. But then Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi as a widow. And then the two sons have grown up. They marry two women, Orpha and Ruth, and what happens is that both sons die. And then now Ruth, Naomi tells these two daughters, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to my hometown because I've had this bread there. And he tells these two girls, go back to your own home. What is the assurance that I will have other sons that you'll marry? Now, eventually what happens, Orpha goes, but Ruth says, I will go with you. My people will be your people. My God, your God will be my God. And she follows Naomi. But now when they come back, they are destitute. They lost everything. But then there was some properties that were there of their husband, which were already sold away of their into. And but then there is a possibility that if a kinsman redeemer was available to buy back that property, then they are able to be restored their property. But even as that property is bought back, then Ruth becomes married to Boaz. Now, what happens is that eventually Boaz, when the matter comes to him, he goes to the city elders, he makes a proposition, he wants to purchase back, he wants to redeem back the properties of Elimelech. And but then there is someone who is there before him. The person says, no, he's not willing, because if he does it, then he has to marry Ruth. Then he gives the right to Boaz. Then Boaz goes ahead and marries. Now Boaz becomes the father of Obed. Boaz and Ruth become the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. Now, if you can think about it, then you see a representation of Christ in the Old Testament. Remember, when we always say that the Bible points to Christ, the Old Testament points towards Christ, and the New Testament points back to Christ. So Christ is the center of our scriptures. And you can, when your eyes are open, you can see Christ in every aspect of the Old Testament. So now when we see Boaz, Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, and he's a representation of what happens in redemption, that Christ redeems us where we were destitute, where we lost the kingdom that God gave us, where we lost every authority on the earth to the devil. Then Christ comes as our kinsman redeemer and purchases us back away from slavery. So the Bible is telling us in whom, in Christ, we have the redemption through his blood. Now, one of the things that you will understand, that for you to buy back a human being, many times, imagine if someone killed someone, they will always say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, blood for blood. And so always, whenever a death would happen, or it, whether it was by mistake or whether it was on purpose, there was always a demand for blood. So someone will say you have to pay back with blood. That means there is a blood fine. You know, like even when something happens, they will say you have to pay a fine with blood. Now, there was only the precious blood of Jesus that was sufficient to buy us. And that's why 1 Peter speaks of that 1:18, that it was not with perishable things such as gold and silver that we were redeemed from our old way of life, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. So it is the blood of Jesus, in whom we have the redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. So it is the blood of Christ that buys us redemption. So the way, same way that Boaz came and bought back the property of Elimelech, and he redeemed Ruth as his wife, and all the properties were transferred to him, likewise also Christ comes and pays back that blood penalty, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That price, that wages of sin that is death, Christ comes and pays for it with his death, with his blood, to guarantee us the forgiveness of sins. In redemption, we are made no longer slaves, but now we receive the freedom to become sons of God. In redemption, our sins are forgiven and we receive righteousness. In redemption, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, upon the Gentiles. So there is a redemption that happens from our old way of life. There's a redemption that happens from sin. There's a redemption that happens from sickness. Remember, the Bible tells us, by his stripes you were healed. We were healed. There's a redemption that happens from poverty, that the blessing of Abraham, the Bible tells us that he knew him, that he was made poor, that we might become rich. We are redeemed from curses. That means all these things are paid for. We are redeemed from the power of darkness. into the kingdom of his Son. And beyond it also, Hebrews 9:12, you can read that it says, we have received an eternal redemption. Ephesians 1:14 also tells us, redemption means that we become God's precious possession. We become God's possession. That means now we become God's property. The same way Boaz took over Ruth and she became her property, his property. Likewise, also we become the property of God, and everything that we lost is returned. Our freedom is fully paid. That means there is no other price that can pay for that to make us forgiven, to make us the sons of God, what? According to the riches of his glory. And that's what the Bible says. Christ has become for us. And this you can read. Let me just see that verse. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So we are redeemed. Think about it. Even when they, like when someone one gave an offering to God, let's say an animal, and he wanted it back, he had to go and redeem it with the value of it, and also they pay a fifth of the value to take it back. That is redemption. So redemption is a payment, is actually a legal term. It's like a purchase, is a transaction. So God did that official payment for us to be free, not by money, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And when redemption is done, we have forgiveness of sins. God has paid every price for us to be forgiven. I know at times the devil will tell us, oh, you don't deserve to be forgiven, oh, you've done this again, oh, you are unworthy. But if you remember that it is the blood that was shed that is enough, that blood is what purifies, that blood is what heals, that blood is what redeems, that blood is the one that gives us access to the new covenant. When we understand that it is a better covenant made with human hands, but by God himself, when we know that that blood was taken to that holy sanctuary, not made with human hands, but the one that is in heaven, by which we have access to the Father. That's why we're told, don't insult the Spirit of grace. Just because we have an eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness, does not mean that we will continue to live in sin. No. It is with precious blood of Jesus. And I pray that God will give us more insight, more reflection, and that we do not treat the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing. I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you. Great demand of the redemption of Christ. There's no any other addition from my side.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, the precious blood that was shed on the cross for us, that we may be forgiven. And today we thank you that that blood is available to cleanse us, to purify us, to make us whole. And I thank you that this blood makes us your possession, and indeed the enemy has no hand over us. And I thank you that this blood was shed from your back. By your stripes we were healed. And I thank you that healing is flowing this morning, this day, to everyone that needs it. Thank you that this blood was shed, that indeed every curse of the law may be broken, that indeed we shall no longer be under any curses. We break every curse of the evil one against our lives, that the blessing of Abraham may flow to us. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, the blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham over our lives. I thank you that this blood that speaks for us better things than the blood of Abel, let it speak today. Let it be the blood of the Passover, that indeed the enemy shall not come near us, that even when he shall come, the angel of death, he shall pass over us. We shall be protected. We shall be anointed on the journeys, in the air, on the roads, in every travel, that Lord, your hand and your protection over our families. Indeed, let the blood be on our doorposts, in our lives, in our homes, in the roads, oh God. We thank you. Thank you for the blood that gives us access to you. Thank you for the redemption, the forgiveness of sins, that indeed you have bought us with a heavy blood sacrifice, heavy price. May we honor you. May we found it worthy. May we be found worthy by your grace and mercy. Help us, strengthen us, and be with us. Encourage your children. Watch over them. Be a shield and a portion. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Blessed, blessed day.